So I'm really proud, Dad. We live in Chelveston, which is near Rushton. Anyone know Rushton is? It's like about an hour away from here. I'm a bit of an odd mixture in terms of, I'm a bit of my mum and I'm a bit of my dad. I mean, I know it's obvious in terms of like sperm and egg and stuff, but in terms of personality, I'm a bit of my mum and I'm a bit of my dad because my dad is really boisterous, kind of confident, like, and my mum is really gentle, shy, like insecure. I'm a really interesting mix. So in terms of my hobbies kind of represent that. It's quite nice to know someone's hobbies, isn't it? So like I love boxing, I love football, I love rugby, I love getting muddy, I like sleeping out under the stars, I like building bonfires, all that kind of stuff. I'm really happy. That's when I'm most happy in some ways, out under the stars with a bonfire and chucking a rugby ball around the next day and so on. But then the other side of me, like the quiet side of me, like I love the ballet. I just love ballet. I wish I'd been a ballet dancer. And my rugby lads in the pub don't understand that side of me. But I've tried to be quite honest with them recently. I love the ballet. I learned to tap dance recently and did my first show. I won't tap dance now. I'm really rubbish. But I wanted to have a go. I love tap dancing. And I like sculpture as well. I love art. I love music. I think it's been okay, actually. I've learned the last few years to be a bit of both. Do you know what I mean? It's okay to be a bit of both. And I don't know, like, what your passions are and those creative parts of you, the different sides of your personality. Just enjoy expressing yourself and being who you are. And don't ever let your peer group, your friends, your family, don't ever let them tell you who you should be. Especially not on social media. Don't let social media tell you who you should be. Just start to find out for yourself, who do I want to be? Who's God calling me to be? So anyway, I won't carry on with that. It's a whole different sermon going off in that direction. We can maybe do that another time. But just, that's me. So I'm Chad. Come to talk to you a little bit about Advent, about how we prepare our hearts for Christmas. And in some ways, I'm struggling with Christmas this year. There's some things I'm looking forward to. There's some things I'm really not looking forward to. I wondered, like, what you guys are feeling like. So maybe just for 30 seconds, no more, with a person that you're sitting with or two, three people you're sitting with, what are you looking forward to over the next couple of weeks leading up to Christmas? And what are you not looking forward to in about, when it comes to Christmas? Go, 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 just for 30 seconds. Okay, anyone want to shout out what they're looking forward to? What things are you looking forward to? Christmas food, chocolate, Yorkshire pudding, for some people that are that way inclined. Anything else? What else are you looking forward to? What are you looking forward to? Family, good. Anything else? Revision, hey! So what year are you in? Oh, year 11 mocks, man, okay, well, okay. What are you not looking forward to? Anyone not looking forward to Christmas for some reason? Anyone not looking forward to Christmas? Be bold, be brave. Anyone else? Sorry? The day after the holidays, having to go back to school. Anything about Christmas particularly you're not looking forward to? It's hard. We don't often think about the things we're not looking forward to. Because in some ways, adverts on telly and Facebook always often presents the perfect Christmas. Like the perfect mum and the perfect dad with their glistening smiles and children opening these enormous rich presents in a big, big house. And then the food, have you always noticed the food on Christmas adverts is in slow motion? Like the cream's always being poured in slow motion. My food's never been in slow motion before. It's always just been normal speed food. So I like cut my meat and the Brussels drops on the floor and I'll pick it up and sneak it onto my gran's plate and see if she'll eat it. Just normal, like kind of broken family stuff. And in fact, actually, I came from a family that was a bit broken. I'll tell you about the story. Hang on, let me just say one other thing first. I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to and what I'm not looking forward to. I'm not looking forward to, the thing I'm struggling with is the money stuff. Like our country, in fact, so many people in the Western world are so obsessed with money at Christmas time. I just keep on thinking about all those refugees around the world in all different kind of conflict areas that are really struggling for money. And yet, for some reason, my friends and family still, and I'm part of it, still buying each other loads of big, rich kind of presents, things we don't really need. And I'm struggling with that this year. I'm thinking, can we not just, as friends and family, just this year, can we just not do presents? Maybe little homemade gifts for our children, maybe, but so I'm struggling with money this year. I don't like it. It makes me feel uncomfortable buying loads of expensive presents for people, knowing they probably won't want them. So I've tried to tame it right down to really cheap presents and just think, actually, that's okay. The thing I'm looking forward to is how God is going to surprise people this year in little tiny hidden ways. Our God isn't going to be in the big kind of glitzy, glamorous Christmas down the high street with all the big lights. Our God often moves in hidden, insignificant, secretive little ways and stirs in our hearts. So tonight, as an example, in what way is God going to stir in your heart in a hidden, surprising way? Like a little surprising way. In terms of surprise, this was the thing I was going to say about my family, actually. So when I was 17, my mum and dad broke up. And I was really, really devastated. They'd been together for, I think, 25 years. And when I was 17, they broke up. And I was really devastated. So just before Christmas, and so I went to live with my mum. And my mum had just next to no money at all. So in our fridge, it was just empty. So Christmas dinner was not great. But I was quite proud. I wanted to look after my mum, and we invited her mum and dad and so on. A few people gathered around the Christmas table, and we had a really humble little Christmas dinner, and then we had mince pies afterwards, and the choice was cream or custard. And then my mum said, does anyone else want ice cream? And my little brother, who was about 6 at the time, put his hand up because he wanted to have some ice cream instead of custard or cream. And I remember this really clearly. So my mum went to the freezer and got out a really cheap block of ice cream. Do you know the type of ice cream that's just like yellow ice, just tastes of like watery, just not very nice, just really cheap. Maybe you guys have always only ever had Haagen-Dazs or something, so maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. But this was like the cheapest ice cream you could get. And because it was Christmas Day, my mum said, my little brother's called Adam, Adam, you can dig your spoon in and you can help yourself to ice cream. So his eyes lit up and he got one of those like big old school spoons. You know, not the cheap ones that bend, but like a really big old silver kind of spoon, and dug it into the ice cream and dug it really as far in as he could because it was really hard. And then he leant back on the spoon and nothing happened. And like the whole like, pot was moving and shaking. And eventually he leaned back so much, there was this kind of squelchy kind of noise, and an enormous ball of frozen ice cream shot up in the air. It's a true story. And it flew from one end of the dining room table to the other. Like, almost, that was in slow motion, actually. It was like, no! Whole family watching the ice cream flying. And guess what? Nice little surprise. It landed in my grandpa's bowl. Isn't that nice? Love that. Just a little surprise, a little nice surprise. And I wonder whether tonight God for you might give you a little surprise, something you weren't expecting. Something you weren't expecting. So the Jews, 2,000 years ago, the Jewish nation, God's chosen people, his plan to bless the Jews so that they'd bless creation, they were expecting the Messiah to come. Scripture, the whole of the Old Testament, building up towards the Messiah, the chosen one, coming to save the Jews and to renew them. And what were they expecting? Well, it's hard to tell, but maybe they're expecting some kind of warrior that was going to defeat the Romans, sort the Romans out. Maybe they're expecting kind of like a king of some sort or a politician. But who knows how God was going to come as the Messiah. But that was their expectation. Someone that was going to defeat the Romans, sort everything out. But actually, of course, he came in a very different form. He came as a baby to very, very, very humble circumstances. I think it's really interesting. So that's what we're celebrating over these next couple of weeks, of course. The coming of the Messiah, choosing not to come as a politician or a warrior. He did come as a king, but not the kind of king they were expecting. So why did he come as a tiny, fragile, vulnerable baby? Yes. Now, that's really important. I'll come and talk to you, and everyone else talk to the person next to you. So you've got 30 seconds. We'll be a pair. You could all be pairs as well. Why did Jesus come as a baby? Specifically, why did he choose to come as a baby? He's going to enter into the world and he's going to choose to be a baby. Go, chat to the person next to you. Okay. I hope your conversations were good. So this is quite interesting. He came as a baby, but I wonder whether to a certain extent we need to get rid of the image in our minds of the fairy tale Christmas. You know, like the front of Christmas cards full of like cartoons in a little perfect stable with a star dead center and like little cartoon animals. We've seen so many things like that on television and on cards and on Facebook that in our minds often Christmas becomes a bit like a fairy tale or a cartoon. So let's get rid of that mental image of a fairy tale Christmas and let's make this a bit real. So if you can imagine, now I just, in terms of theology, so thinking about God, let's stretch this a bit and see what you think about this. So when Mary, as a virgin, had the Holy Spirit inside her and became a child in Jesus, it's not like he was a perfect cartoon baby, like kind of this kind of size, just implanted into her stomach. So I guess he was tiny, like we were tiny, 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 like kind of half the size of a grain of rice. I don't know, I've never heard that before. That's interesting, like a proper little tiny, tiny embryo fetus getting bigger and bigger and bigger, growing normally. Then there's an amazing, miraculous birth where all of a sudden, tiny, fragile baby is being held in the arms of a teenage mother. So who knows? I think 14, 15, might have been probably not much younger than that, but certainly not much older. So you can imagine like a 14-year-old girl holding the God of the whole universe. So the God that breathed stars into space, created the whole universe, created mountains and oceans and valleys, creates every living organism, like gigantic sovereign king God, massive, bigger than our minds can ever comprehend. And that God being held as a tiny, tiny, tiny baby in the arms of a teenage mum. Just amazing. And then, of course, he grew up to be, well, like my son and my daughter are 21 months old. So what would a 21-month-old be doing? Maybe, you know, can you imagine Jesus starting to walk for the first time? Or starting to babble, trying to get words and getting them wrong? Or can you imagine his dad, Joseph, like blowing a raspberry on his belly? Now, just stick with me on this. What I mean is, we don't often think of Joseph doing that with Jesus, because we think about the nativity cartoon scene, then we think about him as an adult. But did Joseph blow a raspberry on Jesus' belly? Be careful what you say when you go home to your parents. I'm not telling you that's what it says in the Bible. It doesn't say that in the Bible. It really doesn't say it in the Bible. But what I'm saying, he was a real baby. He was a real baby. And then imagine him at 6 or 7 years old, like learning and growing and talking and starting to work out, just a normal human baby, but of course not normal. He had the Holy Spirit inside him, 100% God, 100% human. Imagine him as a teenager. We don't often think of him as a teenager. So what was he like when he was your age, going through puberty? Do you know what I mean? Like working out, how did he feel about like girls? And how did he feel about work, going to be a carpenter, kind of working through those kind of things? This was a real man. It kind of gets rid of that fairy tale cartoon image of him as a real man that grew up. And he came as a baby and worked through those developmental stages so that he was just like us. So he understands all of what we're going through all the time. So for instance, if you're struggling at school at the moment, maybe with a friendship group, and maybe you're having a hard time with some of your friends. People can be so harsh in school. It's such an unforgiving atmosphere. Then Jesus understands what you're going through. If you're struggling with your family at the moment, maybe struggling with your mum or your dad or something's going on in your family, Jesus would understand. He was just like us in so many ways. So every part of our life, whatever's going on in your mind, there might be things going on in your mind that no one else knows. And in terms of sin and the things we struggle with and temptation and habits, maybe there's things that no one else knows about that you know. Jesus understands. He was a real baby. So this Christmas, maybe we need to change our mind from a fairy tale image of Jesus to a real baby that really understands what we're going through. Okay, in fact, can I read you a passage? This is from Philippians. Go back and read Philippians chapter 2 later on. This is Paul on his missionary journeys, and then he writes to the church in Philippi. I'm going to read a little bit. Because you know when people read out the Bible, it doesn't often make a lot of sense. So go back and read this later on again. It says, so who being in the very nature God, this is Jesus, so he was God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. It's quite a hard passage, but stick with it. So basically, rather than trying to be like God and just stick in heaven, it says he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So he gave up the glory of heaven to come as a fragile baby. And it says he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. By giving up the glory of heaven to be a fragile baby and understand just what we're going through, it makes much more sense of Christmas. Now I'm going to share one more story And then we're going to work out how on earth are we going to put this into practice, particularly on Christmas Day. Because over the next couple of weeks, every high street is going to be so full of music and food and presents and noise and hustle and bustle, it gets quite distracting. It's almost as though all of the lights in the high street become a bit like light pollution that stop us seeing the kind of like nativity star. That makes sense? So if there was no light whatsoever, if it was just pitch black, no light pollution, we'd be able to fix our eyes on that one single star. But what's happened in culture, in our towns, in our families, our eyes are so full of other lights. So kind of all those Christmas lights and the shops and the street lamps, it becomes like light pollution that stops us seeing the star. So our lives become so full of Christmas, it stops us seeing Jesus. Isn't that a painful irony? Our lives become so full of Christmas, it stops us seeing Jesus. I'll tell you actually one little thing about my children before we finish. So Jack and Emily, twins, were born really early, really prematurely. They were born at 24 weeks gestation. Now, what that means is they've been inside my wife's stomach for 24 weeks, and they had 3.5 months left to grow inside the womb before they were born. But the problem was, some babies, maybe some of you were born prematurely or know of babies that were born prematurely, they were born 3.5 months before they should have been. So they weren't quite ready. So it was a bit of a miracle they survived, because 24 weeks is the earliest you can possibly be born and still survive, or, well, 23, 24 weeks. So they weighed, I don't know how much you weighed, I'm going to do it in pounds. So I guess most of you weigh 4, 5, 6 pounds, maybe 7 pounds. You might not know, but that's kind of about this big. So 6 or 7 pounds would be quite normal. 4 pounds is quite small. So my children, Jack and Emily, when they were born, Emily weighed 1.5 pounds and Jack weighed 1.3 pounds. And then they lost quite a bit of weight, because often when babies are born, they lose a bit of their birth weight. And they lost a bit of weight and they went under 1 pound, which is smaller than a bag of sugar in terms of weight, about the same size as, like, you know, those just like normal kind of like water bottles. Now, it's really hard to picture that. And this is one of those stories where you think, is he exaggerating? And I'll tell you why I'm telling you the story in a minute. So to tell you that I'm not exaggerating, I brought with me their first nappy, like not a used nappy, like a kind of like a when I got out the drawer, because we were in hospital for quite a long time. Now, this is the size of the nappy. This is Emily's nappy from her drawer, but it was too big for her. So what we had to do was fold it over to that size. So that is the only way I can describe to you how big Jack and Emily were. They were fragile. They were quite poorly. They're fine now. Don't worry, it's a really happy ending. And when they got much bigger, we started to have friends, like elderly people in the church, knitted clothes. So like that's when they were a little bit bigger. They started to wear things like this. We lived in Sheffield for 6 months in intensive care. I don't know if you've spent a few hours or a few days in hospital. It's quite hard, isn't it, spending time in hospital? And we lived in intensive care with all the beeps and stuff for 6 months. And you know what? I found prayer quite difficult while I was in intensive care. I didn't really have the words to say to God. There's a verse in Romans 8, 28. It says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, prays for us, with us, with groans that words can't express. So I didn't have the words, but I could just groan to God. I could just groan and say, God, I really need you right now. In my groan, I didn't even have those words. So when you don't have the words, just groan to God. Just say, this is how I feel. It's enough, he understands. And then I'd grip hold of the incubator, even though I found prayer difficult. I gripped hold of the incubator, and every Sunday morning, particularly when I knew my church would be worshipping back in Rushton, I gripped hold of the incubator and I'd worship under my breath, because God doesn't change. It doesn't matter how hard life gets, God doesn't change. He's beautiful. He's glorious. So I could worship, even in that situation where I didn't know whether my children would even survive, I could still worship. Now, that's not because I'm a spiritual superhero, because I'm not. I'm very normal, and I really struggled. But God is amazing. We can worship at all times. So if you're struggling at the moment, you can still worship him. You can worship him through the things you're struggling with. Now, Jack and Emily got bigger slowly, and now they're 21 months and a bit. They've come home. All of the oxygen tubes and all those things have gone now. They're doing really well. So like, don't worry about them, they're fine. But I'll just take you back to one moment before we finish. And there was a moment they're lying in the incubators, surrounded by tubes and wires, keeping them alive. It was really precious, really fragile. And the doctor said to me, and I, because of course we couldn't give them a cuddle or anything. Like, you know, like when a baby's born, you have the image of like the mum like kind of like cuddling them for the first time. Of course we couldn't do that because the incubators, the tubes and wires were keeping them alive. And the doctor said, how about we get, like this is, it was Jack first. How about we get Jack out with the tubes and wires all still attached and you could have a little cuddle. It'd be just amazing. And so I was so nervous. Remember how small they were? How fragile? And so it took absolutely ages, and I had a T-shirt on, so I had to go back and put a shirt on so I could undo the buttons and tuck my my son against my bare chest. It's really cool, just so cool. And so I picked him up out, well, doctors and nurses picked him up out of the incubator with all the tubes and wires and put him inside my shirt, and I just wrapped my arms around really gently, and I was shaking, I was so nervous. I was thinking, I'm holding my son for the first time. It took weeks to get to that stage. Holding my son for the first time. So exciting. And you could see, like when we cuddled them like that, just gently, you know, like when you see on TV the monitor screens with the heart rate and the breathing rate and all the numbers and the lines going up and down? When I cuddled my son, it's really interesting. We did it several times over those 6 months. You'd see the numbers change on the screen. Even if just we put our hand in the incubator, actually, and held our hand over the top of them, you'd see my son and my daughter's heart rate steady a little bit. Or their breathing would steady. Just amazing. It was like the touch of human skin. He could feel my heartbeat. He could hear my voice, even at that stage. And then we got to watch 3.5 months of what would have happened in the womb. We got to watch it before our very eyes. So like when it was my daughter, Emily, when her eyes first opened the first time, little tiny black slit opened for the first time, I was there. Isn't that crazy? Amazing just to be able to stand and watch that happening in front of my very eyes and be able to worship God. Now, the reason I've told you that story about my children, quite an intimate personal story, is because of this. So imagine me back then holding my son for the first time inside my shirt and how excited I was. Now imagine Mary, get rid of the cartoon fairy tale image, a tiny fragile baby, bigger than 1.3 pounds. Probably, who knows how what size Jesus was, but Jesus just tucked against Mary, his heart rate steadying, his breathing slowing down as he was against his mum for the first time, a real human baby, but also God, the God of the universe, choosing to be that fragile so that when we're fragile, he understands. So when you're struggling, he understands. If you're struggling with your self-image, who you are, the way you look, he understands. If you're struggling with anything at all, he understands. I saw people as I was driving here carrying massive presents. One guy had a massive present on his shoulder. It felt like a bit of a burden. I don't know how far he had to walk. I wonder what you're carrying at Christmas time in terms of your burdens, the things you're struggling with, your insecurities, the things that no one else knows. He understands. He loves you. I wish almost that you could imagine yourself as a baby being held. He understands. He holds you like that. Okay, here's what we're going to do now. Just to finish, the problem is, you know we said about the light pollution, the things that distract us and stop us thinking about that real stuff, that change stuff that changes us, that God is right here with us because of what happened that Christmas time? The problem is, when those Christmas distractions come, it's really hard to remember. And particularly, I don't know whether you're like me, but on Christmas Day, I struggle to remember sometimes. There's so much going on, I struggle to just sit down and remember. So here's three ways you might want to remember. First is, I'm going to give you three really practical things. I don't know whether your family says grace before Christmas lunch. My family sometimes do, sometimes don't. It's been a bit of a mixture. Lots of families don't say grace. Grace is like a thank you before the meal. And I've worked, most of my life, I've worked with Christians that come from non-church families. So their families, their parents don't go to church, but they do go to church. And they love God. So we used to say, why don't you say grace in a different way? Because they can't say grace in a non-church family, it's really difficult. Their mums and dads wouldn't really understand. So I used to teach them to simply do this. So just twice, really quiet. You might not have seen that because it's really quiet. So just twice, tap their heart before the meal as a way of saying thank you. That's all. It doesn't mean to be a long, fancy grace. Just a really simple thank you. So that's one thing you might like to try this Christmas, especially if you come from a family that doesn't go to church and you believe in Jesus. Before your meal, just quietly, when no one's looking, just say to Jesus, thank you. And he will hear that. That's enough. Second thing, when the cracker is pulled, I don't know whether you have crackers in your like Christmas meal, there might be you all like do it at the same time, there's all those kind of snappy bang sounds. Maybe imagine when that kind of cracker sound happens, imagine just for a millisecond, that's like a nail being hammered in at Jesus' wrist at Easter. It's a bit horrible to think about that, because of course we're celebrating Jesus' birth, which is amazing, but of course later on, that same Jesus, that same real man, died on a cross and felt the agony of a nail through his wrist. So imagine the cracker snap is like a nail sound. That's a really interesting one for some of you that want to do that. Or maybe, similarly, here's a third one. Maybe when the cracker's pulled and the crown comes out, and you put the crown on your head, like the kind of like party hat thing. Of course, it looks ridiculous. It'll probably like be the wrong size and so on. But in that moment, when you just slide it over your head, just for a second, you think, he is the king of the universe. You might even want to imagine it's like a crown of thorns, just for a second. So in the middle of all those distractions, whether you just say thank you, imagine a nail, imagine a crown of thorns, or whatever you want to do, it might be something totally different. Find a creative way of remembering what this is really about, and it's not a fairy tale. I'm going to stop there while that's in your mind. We've talked about loads of different things, so it might be one thing stood out for you. What we'll do, the worship band will come forward in a moment and start worshiping. I just would encourage you, just where you are, just sit, relax, just chill out. We'll put some post-it notes and pens around. It might be you want to write down one thing that stood out that you want to remember about Jesus' birth, or it might be you want to remember, think of a way you're going to remember on Christmas Day in amongst the distractions. Just doodle. Doodle on your post-it note. Work out, how are you going to remember? What do you want to remember? And then as the worship band leads, stand up when you're ready. Engage with the worship. Just doodle, pray, remember, stick it in your pocket, and then stand up whenever you're ready. Is that okay? Okay. Go for it. I'll pray in a moment, so you can start doodling, and I'll pray in a moment when the band have started playing. So start doodling, start remembering. What's going to be your trigger on Christmas Day to help you remember in amongst the distractions? Yeah, go for it. Start doodling. You can record anything you like. It might be just one thing that stood out. Okay, guys, well done. So the band are going to play in the background. Start doodling and write anything you like. How are you going to remember, and what are you going to remember this Christmas time? Bless you.